This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
You are here with Elliot on behalf of Checkpoint, and I am currently talking to Ben Nizan, game designer at Mediatonic. You're coming all the way from the UK, obviously, part of the Mediatonic team and part of the Fall Guys phenomenon that has kind of struck 2020. So I'm really happy to be able to be here and chatting to you all about this game. So I guess my first question for you, Ben, is how have you been going over the last kind of process of releasing this game and everything happening and all these players flooding in, like, genuinely, like, your well-being? How have you handled it?
It's been tricky, right? Because this year, obviously, there's a little pandemic happening. So the last 4 months of making the game, we were all at home, you know, trying our best in our home offices or our bedrooms or kitchen tables or whatever it is, and that goes all the way up to release. We haven't seen each other yet, only over Zoom or Hangouts or whatever. So it's kind of surreal. If we know it's obviously this huge phenomenon, but it still kind of feels like something's happening on Twitter, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. And you know, for those who haven't heard of Fall Guys, I'm assuming if you listen to our show, you know what Fall Guys is, but just on the off chance, I mean, this game has been, you know, without any hyperbole, this is one of the biggest games of the year. This has been at the top of the Twitch charts for months. It's had tens of millions of players. It's, you know, it's been at the tip of everybody's tongue for quite some time now. So, like, I mean, there's no way you could have expected this. Or was there a part of you that thought maybe Fall Guys could take off in the way that it did?
I mean, obviously we hoped it was going to be successful. We set out to make, like, the world's greatest game show was the kind of tagline for the game, and there wasn't really anything else like it, so we knew that if it landed well, that it would do well, but I don't think we expected to be at the top of Twitch and the top of Steam and, you know, biting on the heels of League of Legends and things like that. So it's, yeah, a success, but perhaps not this phenomenon. We didn't expect this.
Well, it's interesting that you that we talk about Twitch and how well the game has been received within that kind of realm of play, because the first time I saw Fall Guys was actually at PAX Australia back in 2019. And back then, I was able to have a chat to Joe Walsh, who is the lead designer of Fall Guys. And one of the first things I asked Joe was, you know, how competitively are people going to take this game? And he kind of laughed it off. And he told me, you know, he doesn't see this as the next big esport, and it'll never be the next big esport, but there could be some cool things we can do with it. So do you consider yourself an esport now? Has this happened?
Well, I mean, I didn't consider it an esport in the same way that Joe would have said that back at PAX, but I think, I mean, I guess we are now. People are winning money, so yeah, I guess that means it's a sport. I mean, I was sat watching the Twitch Rivals tournament on Friday, and it was really blowing me away that people are obviously having a great time, but they're really good at playing, but also just that this whole ecosystem kind of spawned around it of all the presenters and all the streamers getting involved. I think possibly the thing that it's done well is because it's so silly, kind of anyone can get involved without worrying about their, you know, their reputation or their street cred if they lose at Fall Guys, because it's Fall Guys, right? So I think maybe you can get that kind of cross-game competitiveness that maybe streamers might have been a bit reticent to play each other at their specialist games, because that would mean, you know, oh, I got beaten by someone that plays that noob game or whatever. But Fall Guys, I think everyone, it's got that kind of charity fun run element to it, if you know what I mean. Just get involved and have fun.
Accessible, yet still totally valid as a competitive outlet. And there's probably not that many other video games you can really slot into that category, or at least none that have taken off in this kind of the spirit that Fall Guys has. And I do want to talk to you about Season 2. It has just launched, and I'm super excited. But real quick before we get there, I did want to know, because it's been about a year since I first saw this game, since I first was able to play Fall Guys way back before it was released in its beta or alpha stage at PAX Australia. I do wonder if you could go back to that moment, if there was anything you could do to prepare yourself or prepare your team, or any advice you could give yourself, what would you say?
I think I just want to just touch on one thing first, actually, is that what's funny is when we had the show builds, like at PAX Australia, it would have been 4 or 8 local networked people with a load of really dumb bots running around.
Yes, yes.
And everyone loved it then, but it wasn't feasible to actually show people what the game really was. So I suppose that leads into what I would say to myself back then is to remember that we hadn't really shown anyone the game yet and they were already loving it. Because, of course, before you release something, you never know whether people are going to like it or not. And I think, in hindsight, actually, as soon as you kind of opened those floodgates to actually all real people playing the game, mm-hmm. of course people were going to like it. So I think maybe some words of comfort back to myself.
That's really sweet. All right, so let's do this. Let's talk about Season 2. Obviously, Fall Guys has been a phenomenon and people have been very excited to see what new content will be on the horizon for this game. Season 2 has just launched. I've been able to play some games myself. Tell our audience, if they haven't jumped in to see what Season 2 is all about, what is here for new players?
Absolutely. So Season 2 is our new medieval-themed season. So in the great literacy of game shows, we've, of course, got new themed areas. If you guys know the Crystal Maze with all of its different themed areas, we're kind of going for that sort of vibe. So this is our medieval season. We have 4 new levels added to the game, with new mechanics as well, including pulling around blocks and our first ever solo score-based round, not just having that for teams. And we've got loads of new costumes, hundreds of them actually. We also have new nameplates and nicknames, so when people are spectating you or when you win a game, you can kind of jazz up your name there. We also have a new show selector, so this is the foundation of lots of stuff to come. So at the moment we're running a gauntlets only show, so this is similar to the main game, but it's just the racing rounds with none of the others. But that also builds the foundation for us to do all kinds of crazy stuff in the future, all kinds of silly events and things, time limited stuff, and also loads of bug fixes and a new lick of paint for some of the levels to make them look even better than they already were.
Yeah, very cool stuff. I know you yourself have worked on some of the new levels. Do you want to quickly run us through what those 4 new levels are that are part of Season 2 and what your involvement was there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have 4 new levels. The first one is Night Fever. So this is one of our new gauntlets. So these are the rounds that you will come up against first. And all of these new rounds are just part of the same pool. So we haven't retired any of the Season 1 levels. The game just gets bigger and better. So Night Fever is one of our gauntlets, but with new fiendish medieval obstacles. So we have swinging axes, although they're not metal, they're inflatable like everything else in Fall Guys. And also we have what the community named Thick Bonkus, which is a big spiky log, or again inflatable spikes, that will kind of smash you off into oblivion, although you respawn because it's a gauntlet, that's fine. And you also have to avoid everyone else, of course, because there's lots of holes in the ground and fall into those. Then another one of our rounds is Wall Guys. So this uses brand new mechanics. So this has blocks that you can pull around. And this was something that I was prototyping about a year ago, but the mechanic of pulling the blocks around turned out to be quite difficult, so we held it back for Season 2. But it's really cool, because a bit like the seesaws, or the infamous seesaws, the blocks are part of the level that the players can really interact with, so you can literally grab the level and pull it around. You need to scale kind of castle walls to get to the end, which of course gets into all the japes that you'll pull a block into position and then someone will just jump on your head and jump onto it, sort of steal your glory, but that's all part of the fun. Hoopsie Legends was another one of mine, that uses the same block pulling mechanic, but then remixes it with a Season 1 level Hoopsie Daisy. So players have to climb up onto the blocks that they moved to score points by jumping through hoops, and once you score 6 points you will go through. And then, of course, the first 10 people will go through and then everyone else is eliminated. So it works a little bit like a race in that regard. And then our 4th level is a remix. So we're going to try and do these with the different seasons. So this is Egg Siege, which is a new map for our Egg Scramble game. So this has people collecting eggs and putting them back in their nests. But the whole thing is themed like a big castle. So there's drawbridges and there's the swinging axes and these kind of big pits that people can defend, which is really cool. It looks amazing as well.
Yeah, very cool. It's always exciting to check out new levels in a game like Fall Guys, and I have no doubt there is so many other ideas your team has or is already prototyping to hit us in the future as well. I did have a question for you, but you somewhat answered it within your answer just before, but I'll ask it anyway. How much of the Season 2 content was driven by feedback from the players, or was this literally stuff you were working on a year prior, you know?
So I think Season 2 in particular is a little unusual. I say unusual, we've only been doing it for a few months, but unusual in that Wall Guys and the block pulling mechanic was something that we prototyped a long time ago that's kind of come... We've now got the time to kind of finish it up and add it to the game. But typically, yeah, we'll be working on stuff a few months prior. But actually that cadence still allows us to listen to the players, so I think... the kind of two main bits of feedback I think would have formed what we were doing. So one was that people wanted to see something really new, which was lucky that we had the block moving thing in our back pocket, because mm-hmm. I think I'm quite excited about the mechanic. I just think it's really different, and I think for any technical people out there, they'll know how difficult it is to make that work with 60 people pulling a block around all networked over the internet. It's not easy, but I'm glad we did it. And then the other thing was, we absolutely love team games at Mediatonic, but I know that they're a little controversial with the community, which is one of the reasons why... We still love them, though. We're going to keep them forever. Sorry, guys. But that's one of the reasons why Hoopsy Legends, we kind of pivoted to looking at that to be a solo game, which I think it's all the better for it, actually, and opens up a whole host of new stuff we can do in the future with that kind of mechanic, which is cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you ever expect this kind of... Like, obviously... The community and the players and the internet is this very wide and broad category of people from all different walks of life. But did you ever expect this level of kind of feedback to come from the players, both incredibly positive? I'm sure you've seen so much praise and love and affection, but also there has to be that flip side too. Those people screaming about team games and whatever. Like, how have you been able to kind of wrap your mind around that and handle it and move forward?
I think it's okay, actually, because, I mean, even with the people making their very valid complaints, the community is really nice, and I do say that genuinely. Like, I think when we were doing our first open betas, just the feedback from everyone was so positive and nice, even when they were giving criticism or feedback, which I think is quite unusual, because I think you can see the feedback that you get, that all games get sometimes, and it can sometimes get a little bit negative and a little bit toxic. And I think
I think we were
prepared to deal with that, because I think when emotions run high, people, you know, can say what they say. But the Fall Guys community genuinely just seems to be nice, even when they're complaining. So it's made it really easy. But I guess when we get our first really horrible thing, we'll all be really upset. But I'm sure that will never happen.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. I mean, if you found a way to corner the really nice part of the internet to be your player base, then you've done something absolutely incredible that everybody else will be very jealous of. But yeah, if we move back to Season 2, obviously we have the new maps, which is super exciting as players. There's you know, a heap of cosmetic items too. Do you have a favorite cosmetic item? Like, what do you wear on your bean?
Well, I on day one got myself the new Duchess outfit, because I think she's amazing. So
fantastic.
She's like a golden version of a princess. Yeah, really nice.
good choice. And obviously there's this Gauntlet mode too, which you touched on earlier, where it's basically removing a lot of the team games and some other games as well, and funneling it into more of a race style mini games. How has the reception to that been? Has it been kind of what players have been asking for? Has a lot of people jumped into this game mode?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the thing with these special game modes is they're time limited, so it's kind of, you know, have fun while it's there. I think it's partially in response to that idea of people saying, I'd love to be able to play and it just be down to my skill and not have to worry about teammates. We obviously, like I said, we love the team games, but this kind of gives people an opportunity to play that way as well. But also, people were just up for a new experience, right? And it's that. And I think we've seen a fair percentage of our games, I'm not sure the exact percentage, but something like a third of games, at least on the first few days, were playing in the new mode. So we're pretty happy with that. It means people have got a new way to play, and it shows engagement with that feature as well. So I look forward to all the really fun events we'll be able to do. And if people have any ideas, they can always send them to our Twitter and things as well. And we'll
get
to the team.
Well, how many game modes do you kind of, these like rotational game modes, do you have planned? Like, I'm sure you're not going to tell us what they'll be, but Do you have, like, a whole sleuth of these game modes already pre-planned that you're ready to implement?
So we have a couple that are pre-planned and ready to go, and then we have a whole bunch of ideas, just like our rounds, for the game. So we'll have loads of ideas for things we want to do, and a lot of them require just a little bit more tech, so a little bit more dev work to get ready. But now that we have the kind of foundational... the system there for people to be able to choose the games, and there's that kind of UI in the game, it means that the big bulk of the work is done, if you know what I mean, and then it means we can just do all these cool events. But partially we're waiting to see what people like and what they don't like, so we can tailor them towards what the community wants as well. So don't want to plan too much in stone.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm also wondering, so I got a chance to chat with Joe, you know, a year back at PAX Australia. Mm. And while we're on the topic of minigames and these updates and stuff, he imparted to me that his goal for the game was to have 20 to 30 different minigames on launch, but the idea is that, you know, every month there'll be more and more minigames added, and in his mind, the perfect version of Fall Guys would be where there's hundreds and hundreds of different minigames available, and that players might not see the same minigame for, like, over a week straight. Is that just a crazy pipe dream, or is this something that Mediatonic is actually working towards?
I mean, no, that's definitely the goal. So it'll take us a while to get to 100 maybe, but we've added the new four medieval ones with season two, and there's a few more things on the way as well. And then with each new season, we'll be adding new rounds, and they'll all have their different themes. So I think the thing that excites me the most is you'll get that kind of jumble sale. Your episode won't just be rounds that you don't know what's coming up, but you don't know what themes you're going to be getting. So I don't know what the upcoming themes are, but these are just off the top of my head. But, you know, you might have the medieval one, and then you've got an industrial zone one, maybe one that's underwater. Well, everyone hates underwater levels. Maybe.
Yeah, but, don't do that.
maybe we will, actually. People really hate it. But, you know, so it's always going to change. Obviously, our launch levels all have the same style to them, and part of that was, you know, so we can get things through the door and create that kind of consistent style at launch. And I know there's been a little feedback from the community that maybe the medieval one sometimes feel jarring because they're so different from the others. But I think if you can cast your mind into the future when there's all of these different themes, they will feel consistent in their inconsistency, if that makes sense.
I think that totally makes sense, 100%. I want to see the future of Fall Guys where you have absolutely no idea what's coming your way, and it's just a chaotic ride the whole time. I think that,
absolutely.
I agree, that's the best version of Fall Guys for the future. I do wonder, like, is there any far-flung imagination ideas that you or your team might have for, you know, either different game modes or different maps or even different kind of mechanics and systems, much like you're kind of dragging blocks around, that you think is almost unachievable, but maybe one day we could get there?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm not the right person to ask, because we're the design team, so we just come up with something and then the engineers go, that's not possible, and then they do it because they're magical beings who somehow managed to get it done. And the blocks mechanic was a really good example of that. It was just something that the prototype sort of worked. We really weren't sure if it was going to work in practice, and it does now, which is fantastic. I think a lot of the stuff we've been looking at recently is just more obstacle types, so there's a lot more we can do with the physics system of the game. So we have, you know, we've got our hammers and we've got our swinging things, but it's just looking at things that move in different ways or hit you in different ways and in new, you know, new funny ways of crumpling to the floor, which is kind of what everyone's there for with Fall Guys, right? So that's what our focus is at the moment. I think in the far future, we're looking at things like squads, for example, so where people can play together and win together as a team, which is quite a big technical challenge because it's almost this whole lone game, but that's something we're quite excited in doing. I think beyond the rounds is just finding these new ways for people to play. So, yeah, lots of investment in that stuff.
What should players expect on, like, a timeline basis? Are we expecting a Season 3 in a couple of months? Are we expecting, you know, a good amount of mid-season updates? Is there a schedule that your team is currently kind of aiming for?
Yeah, I think the aim is every 2 months to have a season. That might, you know, move a little bit if something needs a little bit extra love, potentially. But yeah, certainly the idea is every 2 months we'll have a new season, and then there'll be mid-season drops of varying size, depending on when it is. So last time on Season 1, we had the variation system that we added into the game, and I think that's the sort of thing to be looking for is these sort of more foundational, smaller features, inverted commas, that then bring a lot to the game coming forward. So,
yeah. Now, if we move off the topic of Season 2 and kind of look at Fall Guys as a wider kind of product, I do wonder how your team has kind of taken to some of the ways the world has adopted Fall Guys, sometimes negative, sometimes positive. For instance, you know, I couldn't help but notice there is a good amount of Fall Guys knockoff plagiarism video games kind of popping around the mobile market. Is that just totally flattering or is that super annoying?
Oh, it's let's go with flattering. I think, okay. I used to work in mobile games, and you know, even your mobile games get cloned, and it's just something you learn to live with. I think you know, there are companies out there and teams out there whose whole modus operandi seems to be finding games and cloning them and making a little bit of money until they get taken down. And I mean, obviously, I can't endorse that, but fine. That's what they're going to do.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah.
I did want to, at some point during this interview, mention Oliver Age 24 and the Fall Guys Twitter account, because, I mean, that's been almost its separate phenomenon, like, yeah. Something that's kind of happened alongside the launch of Fall Guys. And once again, just for anybody who is totally unaware, the Fall Guys Twitter account has been going off. Like, it is become incredibly popular, a lot of people talking about it, a lot of people looking to it as this kind of beacon of what to do as, you know, a front-facing social media account. I do kind of want to know, like, how much of this is the community manager, Oliver Hindle, just kind of going off the rails and doing whatever he wants? And how much of this is kind of more pre-planned as a whole team? Have you ever had to, like, reel him in and be like, oh, no, what are you getting us into here?
No, I've never had to reel him in. I think that would be a bad idea. I think it is him, you know, going off the rails and doing whatever he wants, but it is in a planned way. So he's posted up himself on his own Twitter and in various places the kind of the marketing plan. So the whole what's the Dolly Parton quote? It takes a lot to look this cheap, right? So
right, yes.
It kind of has that whole zany, off the wall, you know, just posting something random element to it. But all of those things are planned, and he talks a lot better than I'd be able to. But it kind of is inspired by a lot of the big fast food brands like Wendy's and things, which their social media's kind of exploded just from this kind of irreverent style. And I think it definitely works for some brands. Like, I think we're silly enough that it kind of works. I know some people, you know, don't necessarily like the style, and so if, you know, if you're a bank, I probably wouldn't suggest doing it in the same way, in the same style, you know. Probably not going to work, not going to get you your customers. But yeah, I think though Oliver's way of working reflects most of the people on the team, which is that we have quite a lot of freedom, but then we do all talk to each other all the time. So everything that Oliver does, you know, is checked past the team, and I don't think there's anything, well, I mean, I don't know of anything we've shot him down and said, no, you can't do that. But he wouldn't be able to do what he was doing if he wasn't talking to everyone and, you know, stealing all of our gifts from in development stuff and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, very true. So you mentioned Wendy's, obviously, other brands. I think Wendy's have been involved with the Fall Guys, like, yeah. Tweeting at each other. Like, I remember KFC and Walmart getting involved, and even some, like, gaming celebrities like Ninja and whatnot. You've done, in fact, you did this whole charity kind of skin thing where you Fall Guys managed to raise $1 million for charity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. What did you guys expect to get out of this skin competition? And when should people expect to kind of see these these brands start making their way into Fall Guys?
Yeah, because I think, we'd already had some, brand collaborations already, because we had the Steam costumes, yep, in the game, for example. So we were always open to that anyway, but then when we started getting all the brands like, you know, Walmart and KFC and that, they're obviously on a slightly different level, so we weren't super keen in just chucking the kernel straight into the game. But we thought we'd say, well, why don't we do a bidding war and do it for charity, because I think the game obviously draws on, you know, people dressing up as a fridge and running the marathon, you know, it's that sort of thing. So we thought, well, let's make some money for charity. But no, we didn't expect we'd get $1 million sort of teamed up between four different people and businesses. But Yeah, that was just incredible. And I think particularly this year, Special Effects was the charity that we raised the money for. They've not been able to do any of their fundraising events, obviously, because of COVID. So it was nice to be able to give them such a huge sum, because it's really going to change the difference for a lot of gamers with accessibility needs. Change their lives in a big way. The costumes themselves, I'm not sure exactly when they're coming. It will be sometime this year, but I think because we have to make four of them now, because four people banded together to donate, so it's going to take a little longer to make, but we couldn't turn down $1 million for charity, so yeah, a little longer to wait, but they'll be here soon.
That makes sense. And it was such an amazing and generous and really intelligent thing to do, with the Fall Guys brand as well, and to get other people involved. It is really, really neat to see as an outside perspective. Ben, any last points you want to make about Fall Guys before we wrap up here, or season two, or just absolutely anything?
I guess just for the people that haven't played season two yet, to give it a go if you were playing in season one. And we had some questions about the witch costume, because she's not appeared yet. But I will remind everyone that it is the spooky month of October, so she will be making her appearance soon.
Ooh, yes. Very tantalizing. Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining me. Ben Nizan, game designer at Mediatonic. Fall Guys Season 2 is out now across PC and PlayStation 4. Check it out if you haven't already. Ben, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.